Have you ever felt like motherhood completely changed your life while your partners stayed pretty much the same, while you're running on empty doing everything in the daily grind? Well, this week we're talking to Dr. Morgan Cutlip, who felt that way too. And she's sharing how she reclaimed her identity even when she was in the thick of it. Welcome to Mom's Guide to Finding Herself, where we share stories of side hustles and surviving while parenting young children. I'm your host, Chrissy Bold. Let's make motherhood less lonely and help you find joy in being you again. Motherhood changes everything, and no one prepares us for just how much of ourselves we're going to lose in the process. We're told to soak up every moment, but what about when we don't even feel like a person anymore? I remember the moment that hit me. It was like I was just a body moving through the day, meeting everyone's needs, managing the chaos, but I was completely losing myself in the process. It was like my basic wants and needs weren't being met, but worse, it didn't even feel like that mattered. I was in full survival mode, running on autopilot, reacting instead of living, and somewhere along the way, I had disappeared. I didn't realize just how deep I had sunk until one day I caught a glimpse of my reflection and I barely recognized myself. And I don't really mean physically, but more emotionally, right? I used to have passions, hobbies, things that made me feel like me. But at that point, I was just getting through the day. And then it was like almost magic. I came across Dr. Morgan Cutlip's book, Love Your Kids Without Losing Yourself. At the time, it was in pre-launch, and I was desperate for something or anything that made me feel like human again. And come on, that title spoke directly to my soul. I joined her launch group and I read the book alongside her and other moms who felt the exact same way. And piece by piece, I started to rebuild myself. The discussions that we had, the reflections that we made, they all forced me to confront the fact that I had been running on empty for way too long. That experience is one of the reasons why I do this podcast, because I know what it feels like to wonder if you'll ever come back to yourself. And I know the power of hearing someone say, I've been here too. And Dr. Morgan has been here. In today's conversation, she shares how she spent her entire life immersed in relationship psychology. She grew up with a father who was a psychologist. And then she went on to pursue advanced degrees in human development and counseling psychology. She dedicated years to understanding relationships and emotional well-being. But yet, when she became a mom, all of that knowledge and training did not prepare her for the total identity shift that hit, like a tidal wave. She spent years studying relationships, but she wasn't prepared for the way motherhood would strip her down and force her to redefine everything. Today, Dr. Morgan is an author and a relationship expert. With her down-to-earth style, she offers couples and individuals the tools that they need to tackle the trickiest relationship issues. She offers a fresh perspective and some really powerful frameworks. She has a really special way of translating psychological theory and research into practical, accessible, and actionable advice. And she shares it so beautifully with her clients, her social media followers at Dr. Morgan Cutlip, her books, her courses, her podcast, and her blog as co-founder of MyLoveThinks.com. Dr. Morgan earned her master's in human development and family science and her doctorate in counseling psychology. And her latest book, A Better Share, is going to be available nationwide on April 8th, 2025. But what I love the most about Dr. Morgan's story is that she doesn't just stop at acknowledging the struggle. She gives us tools on how to change it. She shares how she started to reclaim her own sense of self and how she and her husband worked to rebalance their relationship and how she helps other women do the same. If you've ever felt buried under the weight of motherhood, and if you've ever wondered when it'll be your turn again, this episode is for you. I am here with Dr. Morgan Cutlip. Dr. Morgan has two kids, ages 9 and 11, and she is a super mom in the way that I just completely admire everything that you've ever done, Dr. Morgan. I'm so grateful that you are here with me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, probably most of my listeners have at least checked out your Instagram page at this point, so they might have a little taste of the knowledge that you bring to us and the expertise and all of the hard work that you've done to help women understand how they can mother a little bit easier and feel a little bit more lighter in their day to day. But I want to hear your journey today, like, because no mom has a magic card where we get through all of this unscathed. So tell me, who were you before you became a mom?
Ooh, I've never been asked that. That's a great question. Before I became a mom, I feel like I was just a student. It feels like I've been a student my entire life. So I grew up in Ohio in a pretty rural town. I met my husband in high school. And I feel like I always have to say this because I'm in the field of relationships. So if I don't say this, I lose street cred.
Sure.
But we dated on and off. We dated like 3 years in high school, on and off through college. And then we went about 5 years without speaking. And this is going to age me, but we reconnected on MySpace.
Yeah.
So that's my relationship story. Been married 16 years. So yeah, grew up in Ohio. I worked alongside sort of like feels like my dad from forever. He went back to school to get his doctorate in psychology when I was in grade school. And I used to go to classes with him sometimes.
Oh, fun.
And yeah, it's wild. I actually had one of the professors that I sat in on when I was around 6 years old.
Whoa,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It was her last year. And We would play this game in the car where he would give me a hypothetical case and he'd be like, how are you going to help this family? How are you going to help this couple? What do you think this little boy needs? And it was just my favorite time with my dad. Yeah. And he started developing courses. He had got his doctorate in psychology, started developing courses for relationships way before everybody else was doing that. I mean, I know the Gottmans and there's these like perennial people, but around that time. And I started traveling with him to conferences and eventually worked with him for around 15 years. So it feels I attended my PhD graduation. I had to delay it.
Okay.
Because I had our daughter, Effie.
Okay.
But I attended it when she was 2 months old. We flew from Florida to Ohio and it was like so stressful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember like being at the airport, she's losing her mind. And I was like, I'm not going to go. Like,
right?
I can't do this. And yeah, it was very intense. So to me, like before becoming a mother, I feel like, oh my gosh, I've been a student my entire life of this profession and relationships. And so,
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, we talk a lot about teaching our kids emotional intelligence and being able to talk about their emotions. But you had like the PhD level of this as a child.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's. I don't know. We definitely have a little bit of that family life where like we talked about a lot. We had family meetings. We did the things. I feel like my dad, for being a PhD in psychology, and hopefully he doesn't listen to this, but he's more analytical.
Sure.
So feelings were part of it, but very much more of like a cognitive guy. So we grew up analyzing a lot of things. And so I enjoy that though. So that was fun.
I can see that. There's like the research piece of it, like the let's geek out over all of this stuff versus, there's two pieces and both of them are very valuable. So I understand that. So you were then finishing your PhD and here you are with a newborn baby who's screaming in the airport. So tell me about your transition to motherhood.
My transition to motherhood was definitely not what I expected it to be. I was finishing up my internship. We were living outside of DC at the time. So it was at George Mason University, finishing up my internship, and we were building a home in Florida. So I'm from Ohio, living in Virginia, but moving to Florida because my parents moved there and we wanted to be close to family when we had kids. And so I moved to Florida when I was about 9 months pregnant.
Whoa.
And I rapidly, it was wild. It was kind of radical. And I switched care. So I ended up delivering with a midwife in Florida. And so I was working with a doctor in Virginia. So I like rapidly went to like rapid fire, like classes and prenatal stuff. Right. And like caught up with all of that. And then I had our daughter and 2 months after she was born, my husband was basically told that he needed to take a job in Southern California.
Oh.
And so our home, we had literally just moved in, wasn't even fully decorated or anything, and we had to leave. And so I decided at that time that I wanted to stay in Florida. I lived like three blocks from my parents because he was going to be figuring out his way.
Yep.
And I didn't really want to do beginning of motherhood in like temporary housing and all this stuff. So he left, and we then from about Effie being, her name's Effie, 2 months to about 8 months, somewhere in there, we just kind of like saw each other every so many weeks. And I didn't move to California until she was about 10 months old. So my entry to motherhood was kind of, I mean, I'm not going to say it was traumatic, but I was scared to have a second child because I felt so alone in that transition. I was shocked at how unprepared I was. Despite my, you know, I have a master's in human development and family science. And I was like, that did nothing to prepare me. I thought I knew what I was doing. And so I felt really shocked and overwhelmed and buried by it all and lost and anxious. I'm not really an anxious person. I felt very anxious in early motherhood. And to do it alone for a lot of those months, I think set my husband and I up to have a very uneven distribution of involvement with our daughter.
Right, because it's like you had the whole survival mode by yourself, you know, whereas that is typically this like boot camp training program for both partners. And he didn't get that training, that basic training.
No. And I, like, I joke when I speak about this stuff, I joke that our daughter Effie is kind of like a scary baby.
Yeah.
You know, like she's just had one of those temperaments. I mean, they're called spicy or deeply feeling now, you know, but she was scary to me. And
fair enough.
Yeah. And it was just like she just had opinions about everything right out of the gate. And, you know, I feel like also part of it was, you know, he did not. You know, Chad, is my husband's name. He did not really step in well and take that initiative when we were together. But also, I kind of like figured out how to manage our scary baby because I was on my own. So when he would try to do it and it wasn't going well, I'd be like, get out of here. Like, I know what I'm doing. I got all the tips and tricks.
Right.
So it was a matter of me pushing him out and him not stepping in enough.
Sure. Which can happen anyway. I mean, I think it happens probably 90% of the time. Like, it's probably an astronomically high statistic. You know, they call it maternal gatekeeping, but I think it's just like, it's just easier a lot of the time.
It's just easier if I do it.
Right. Exactly. But when somebody isn't there to at least witness and have these tools just like even in the back of their brain, it's now you're at 8 months and you're coming out of the survival mode. And I've found talking to so many women now that it's like usually around that mark, like 9 to 12 month mark, that people are out of survival mode and they're now like, who am I as a person? And now that's that time to have an identity crisis. But now you're in charge of a different person trying to help them with you. So how is that?
So when I had Chad with me?
Yeah. You know, because you're training him while figuring yourself out. And
Yeah, I don't feel like I actually came up for air until much later, actually, because her tantrums started around 13 months.
Yeah.
And they went on for a while. So I felt like I was kind of getting a handle on the newborn phase. And then we went right into that phase. And I was like, whoa. I had this vision of how I would be as a mom, and I was, this was not what was happening in my reality. So with him, I think the best way to describe it is like the roots of resentment grew quickly. I just was shocked. We have a great relationship. We had a wonderful relationship before kids. And this experience, you know, what it really felt like for me was, wow, my life's really changed and yours has pretty much stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, I think, if I had a story I was sort of telling myself about our relationship at the time that really didn't help my attitude toward him, that would be it. I mean, and there was truth to it. So it's not as if I was just fabricating this, but It was shocking how quickly these early years of having kids can really, really stir up quite a bit of resentment, feelings of unfairness, frustration in your relationship. I mean, plus you're just surviving off of less resources. Right. So you don't have as much to really pull from in terms of like managing your conflict well and things like that. And I think that was really the most jarring thing for me.
Yeah, that is a lot. Now, you touched on something too of your ideal, and you talk about this in your book as well. I like to call it like a mom type. We see on Instagram, like whatever hashtag you might fall under, the mm-hmm. Pinterest mom, whatever. And we have mm-hmm. this version of who we think we'll be when we become that. And then oftentimes we become somebody that our old self wouldn't be proud of. And that mismatch is really hard. Did you experience that too?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do unpack this quite a bit in my book. For me, something I had to recognize and to identify was that my mom was adopted, and she was adopted by a couple who was like pretty cold, actually. It's kind of wild. Like you want a kid, you adopt a kid, and then you're like not that involved with your child. So it's very strange.
Right.
So to be abandoned, that already gives, you know, it's already a lot of issues with that.
Yeah.
And then to be sort of neglected by your adoptive parents. My mom really went into motherhood at a very young age, by the way. She had me at, how old was she? 21.
Okay. Yeah.
When she had me, married at 19. So very, very young. Mm-hmm. She went into motherhood with sort of like, I describe it as her pain fueled her sort of like fire to change how she approached motherhood. And so I had a mom who was that sort of 80s, 90s super mom.
Yeah.
Where she was like room mom. She coached all of my sports. She ended up getting elected to the president of the Board of Education. Like she's just this woman, you know, I mean, still to this day, she like makes soup anytime a neighbor's sick. Like she is on it. And I remember in early motherhood, I mean, I was working still with my dad. I mean, I have pictures of, you know, the week after I gave birth, I'm like on my laptop working with, you know, Effie next to me. And I remember just being like, why am I always falling short? And I think something we don't realize a lot of times is we sort of take these early experiences in our own ways of being mothered, and we sort of just use them as a template and slap them on our experience, and those become expectations we've never even explored about what it means to be a good mom. Because we all have a definition we've internalized about a good mom does. And I was taking all the stuff my mom did, and that was my measure.
Yeah.
And my life looked vastly different than hers. And so I had to come to terms with that, and I had to make adjustments in how I measure what a good mom is and how to sort of calibrate my standards. And that took some time and it was painful, though, before I recognized that and got to that place.
Yeah, you have to grieve the vision that you had, because that person that you thought you'd be doesn't exist. And but you just know so much more that like that person didn't know you. They didn't know all the things you're going to be facing. So it's tough. That mismatch is really hard. Now, you said that you had a lot of anxiety about transitioning to a second baby, but ultimately you did. Can you tell me how you got to that?
I remember talking about it with Chad, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And, you know, Effie was, like I said, she was spicy. Yeah. She's like just the most incredible kid. Yep. Like, I love her. I love her spice. But we were like, I don't think I can do it again.
Yeah.
And, but then also, I don't think this can be an only child.
Sure.
So we were like in this, we were just like in this tough spot. But it's funny. So I was early with Effie, and I was, you know, and I do believe our mental and emotional state plays into our pregnancy. I mean, that's not my expertise, but it just feels like that makes sense how things show up in our bodies. But I was late with our son, Roy, and I had a midwife, and not for everybody, but that's what I wanted. And I had a midwife, and I remember she was like, you need to, you know, your body is holding on. And I had a complication with my first birth, and she thought that's what I was afraid of. And it wasn't. What I was afraid of was having a postpartum experience with my husband that was similar to my first one. And so I remember I had to have a talk with Chad, where I was just like, I'm so worried you're not going to be there. You're not going to do enough. We're going to have a major life change again. Like, I just can't. That was not the experience I wanted in early motherhood. It was really, really hard and overwhelming. And it wasn't until after, you know, it was like pretty quickly after that conversation that he was born. So
yeah,
it's a hard transition.
Amazing what your body can do and what you hold on to.
Oh, yes.
You're like, this is so much easier if you're right here.
Yes.
There.
So much comes out. I mean, our bodies speak to us so loudly. So much comes out.
Definitely.
In the physical form.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you talk in your book, you use the phrase de-selfing a lot. And I'd love to hear your experience with that, where we kind of depersonalize who we are as individuals, mm-hmm. because our basic needs and wants aren't getting met anyway. So why am I even a person? I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's what de-selfing is. It's essentially backburnering yourself in order to care for everybody else. And it's wild. Like, it's just sort of part of being a woman in many ways in our society, because we are socialized really to self-sacrifice for the preservation of everyone else. And I mean, it's a really dicey thing in motherhood, because we have to sort of de-self in the beginning.
Right.
In order to get up in the middle of the night and to feed your baby, however you do it, like, all the things require us to really put ourselves on the back burner. And I think where it became problematic for me, and I think many moms and women out there, is that sometimes we sort of just get locked into that mode. So we become so disassociated from ourselves, and we become so used to being on the back burner, so de-self, that we lose touch with who we are. So it's like, yeah, you do it in the infant stage, maybe in the toddler stage a bit, but then you can kind of like come back to life. But if we never do that, if we never shuffle back to sort of like taking turns, I don't think we have to be first in terms of needs,
sure.
but we have to take turns.
We have to be in the top 10 at least, right?
We got to get a turn. We need to be in the rotation.
Yes.
And so, but a lot of us just click in to being in the back, and we will go 10 years, 12 years, 18 years. That's why a lot of, I think, women, their kids leave, and they're like, they might even resent their children for leaving them, because it's like so much of who they are is wrapped into being a mom and putting everyone else first. So for me, it was probably when the kids were maybe like 5 and 7 or so, somewhere around there, where I was just like, this is enough.
Yeah, that's
like
a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, I got stamina. Yeah. I got a lot of stamina.
I can tell.
I lived in it for a while. But yeah, that's when it started really hitting me. And I remember it created tension in our relationship when I started to shift. Maybe a little. They were maybe a little bit younger. Sure. But I remember my husband being like, you're different. And I was like, nope.
Right.
I am the same.
Right.
I am just not, like, I'm just not making everything so small anymore. So we both had to make some changes in order to sort of me come back into connection with myself.
Yeah.
And it serves our relationship so much better, though, that I have.
Yeah, that's powerful to hear that it took so long, because I think so many moms put pressure on themselves to bounce back really quickly. And I hate that phrase, because that, like, or even get back to who you were, because you aren't that person anymore. You might not even like those things anymore. So to think about bouncing back isn't there, but it's a project truly to like keep coming into who you are in this new phase of life.
Yes.
And what you like. So to hear for that, for somebody who's an expert, that it took several years to feel more whole, more like a complete person again, is validating. Like, there's nothing wrong with me for having a 4-year-old feeling like, ugh, I still don't know who I am.
No, and I think that's normal. I mean, I think I say this in the book, but motherhood is supposed to be expansive. Mm-hmm. Like, there are going to be things that are triggered in us that require us to examine, you know, who we are, how we show up, some of the stuff we've been probably avoiding dealing with. And because of this, it's kind of like this beautiful part of being a parent. It's also the very hard part of being a parent. But this challenges us to become someone better.
Yeah.
So we can say someone new, but somebody better than we would have been on our own. And that's going to take multiple iterations and evolutions. And that takes time. And I think, you know, if we're you know, if we're paying attention and we're willing to do some of the work, we're going to keep evolving throughout these years that we're parents and becoming better versions of ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. Well, I want to hear everything about your whole parenting journey. But I mean, us moms, we can only listen to so much at a time. So yes. We will have you back for the next episode where we can hear about how this new version of Morgan came out and said, no more. We're sharing the load more. So I can't wait to hear your thoughts on the mental load in the next episode.
Thank you for having me.
Do you feel like you're carrying the weight of your family on your shoulders and you're ready to create more fairness and less resentment in your relationship? You'll want to tune into the next episode where Dr. Morgan comes back to share about her book, A Better Share, and how to address the mental load with your partner while bringing back the fun. This is going to be a really great episode to share with your partner or even listen together. Until then, take a moment for yourself and remember, you are an amazing mom, just as you are. I would love to hear how this episode has helped you. Scroll down to the comments or reviews and leave me a note there. This will make a big impact in helping moms like us find the show. Make sure to click those 5 stars and follow so you can join me on this journey of finding ourselves.